You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network. Talk Radio Network is the hottest online radio station heard globally. We feature the best radio shows, the most amazing hosts, and hot topic panelists. We produce and support fabulous events globally as well. We work with the most dedicated community partners, period, point blank. I started We Talk Radio Network in 2010, and guess what? 10 years later, we are still celebrating and providing the best radio shows, best special guests, the most incredible music, blogs, events, and more. We have informative shows, inspirational shows, music shows. We even have two youth shows. We invite you to be a part of the family. And you can do that by following us on all our social media platforms and by going to www.wetalkradio.com. WeTalkRadio.com.
Us on this morning here. Again, you didn't have to, but you did, and we want to thank you so much. Thank y'all that are joining us on Zoom, and I want to thank y'all that are joining us on the different streaming platforms that we are on, YouTube, Facebook, the Soil Church website, so many other different forms, and then also We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Radio Station. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. In this day, we will rejoice and be glad in this day. So I just want to thank all of y'all for, again, spending this moment, this time, this small segment. You got 24 hours in this day, and you're going to spend just a small segment of your time just giving God time, giving God your attention. And I do want to thank you and commend you for doing so. So I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn here of the Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I want to thank you for this, for just sharing this small segment of your time with us on this morning. I want to thank y'all on our Zoom platform. Thank y'all on Facebook Live. Thank y'all on YouTube. And also thank y'all on We Talk Radio. Before I get into the message on today, I do just want to announce that next week we will not have a live broadcast message. Next week, July 4th, we will not have a live broadcast message. I want y'all to take that time to spend with your families. Take that time to spend with your families. July 4th, you know, we didn't really have much of a celebration for July 4th last year, obviously, with COVID. No small gatherings, no large gatherings. It was a lot of things different. So we're going to take that time to go out and cut some watermelon, go out and shoot some fireworks, go out, sit by the pool, go out and maybe have some cookouts and all that good stuff. So we're going to just, we'll be back on, I believe it's July 11th, that following Sunday, July 11th, that following Sunday, to come back bringing another impactful, dynamic word from God to you. So again, just wanted to make that announcement here. We will not go live next week, but we will pick up the following week. Okay. So without further ado, and with that being said, we've got a strong meat and potatoes, kind of a good home style meal for you on today. I'm telling you, the chef God that has prepared this meal has got something that's going to stick to your bones. It's going to be some substance for you on today. And as a matter of fact, this message here is gonna be probably a little longer than normal. We've got a lot to cover because we're gonna close out our series here, The Power of Strength. And this is gonna be enough to carry you over next week as well. This is gonna be enough for 2 weeks worth of message. So just for disclaimer purposes here, I just wanna let you know, sit back, be patient, allow God to speak to you on today. Okay, if you're scrolling through and just kind of curious here on a different platform and just kind of scrolling through, and this is another one, I'm telling you right now, when you pull up this message, you are not going to want to just scroll on and keep scrolling. Allow God to patiently speak into your spirit. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and dive right into it. Let us just relax our minds, renew our minds, clear our minds, and allow God to come in and speak to our hearts. Let us close our eyes. Let's go into a moment of corporate prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you have graced us with this opportunity to come together, Lord, as one, to receive the word that you have for us on today. And Lord, I thank you for speaking into our hearts. I thank you for speaking to our minds. I thank you, Lord, for humbling us and allowing us to receive your word on today, Father God. Lord, anything that is not like you inside of each and every one of us, we ask for your power to remove it, Father God. Get it out and cleanse us, Father God, so that our storage can be empty to receive the infilling of your spirit on this morning, so that you can speak to our hearts, Lord, and that we receive it. So that you can speak to our minds and that we can receive it mentally. We can receive it spiritually. And you come in and have your mighty way right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Holy Spirit, convict us to listen to this word. Help us to allow this word to saturate our minds, saturate our hearts, and help somebody on today come to Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. Lord, renew our minds, renew our strength. We're going to talk about that. But right now, we just ask that you give us the strength to be focused, Lord. Give us the strength to have full attention, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the wonderful meal that you have prepared for us on today. Let it be nourishing and strengthening to our bodies. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Thank all of y'all for joining us on this morning here. We're going to go ahead and dive right into the message. So as a lot of you know, we have been in a series here called The Power of Strength. The Power of Strength has been our series here, and God has been speaking to us to help us better understand, the power of strength and its importance in helping us have the strength that we need to not just, listen to this, to not just live the Christian life. Okay, we don't want to just live the Christian life, but to live a solid and productive Christian life, to produce, to live a solid and productive Christian life. That's what we want to do here. And so with this message here, what we want to understand is that, just as it is on our jobs, right? Just as it is on our jobs, just as it is in anything that we do, what we want to understand is the best ability is availability. The best ability, ladies and gentlemen, is availability. And we want to make sure that we are available to do the work that God has called us to do. We want to make sure that we are available to do the work that God has called us to do. So we've learned in this series here, our very first message. So we've learned that we first have to be in what we call ready position. We have to be in ready position and tell God, Lord, I'm available to you. We have to tell God, despite of how tired we are, Lord, I am available to you. So as we put up our first slide on this morning, what we want to understand here as we put up the slide here is when we place ourselves on God's availability list, we tell him, Lord, I am available to you. Here's what God does in exchange for that. We position ourselves to be in position of submission. This is what he does. He renews and restores our strength, regardless to how tired or weak we may have become. That's what God will do. All we have to do is just say, Lord, I'm in position. I'm available. And here's what he does in exchange. He renews and restores our strength, regardless to how tired, how weak we are. They're getting on my nerves. I'm getting beat down. I'm getting down to the last nitty gritty, all that I can do. And all you do is just muster up enough natural strength to just position your mind to say, Lord, I'm available to you. And he will renew your mind and renew your strength. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the kind of God that I want us to understand. This is the kind of God that we serve. Okay? This is the kind of God that we serve. And as a matter of fact, we talked about that eagle-eyed prophet. Remember that prophet Isaiah that we talked about? The eagle-eyed prophet Isaiah. You know, he understood this. He understood the importance of having that strength because he understood. Yes, we get tired mentally. Yes, we get tired physically because due to the toils of life that come to beat us down and to weigh on us at times, and it gives us, you know, an unexpected uppercut to our faith. We can get knocked in the mouth and unexpected, and these things can wear us down over time. And he understood that. So our next slide tells us here, what I want us to understand is when we are tired physically and when we're tired mentally, it affects our ability to be used spiritually. That's one of the enemy's oldest tricks in the book, is to wear us down mentally, to wear us down physically, so we have nothing left to give God. We have no time left to read the Word of God. We have no strength left to do what he needs for us to do. We can't muster up that smile that we need, that somebody needs from us, because we're so beat down and we're so worn down. But this is what that eagle-eyed prophet Isaiah, this is what he tells us. And Isaiah 40 and 31, and I'm coming from the King James Version. And Isaiah 40 and 31, he says, but that means, yes, you're tired. Yes, you're weak. Yes, your strength is running on E and you're about to burn out every ounce of gas that you got. But they that wait upon the Lord shall. It's a commandment when you see the word shall. That's why I love the King James Version and the New King James Version of the Bible, because that word, that command, that instruction from the word called shall means that it's not a suggestion. It means that it's not an opinion. It means that it's not a if, it's not a maybe, it's not a maybe someday on down the road. No, it means shall. Shall is a commandment, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what he says. If you wait upon the Lord, if you place yourself in ready position for the Lord, here's what he's going to do to reciprocate your move. He is going to renew your strength. He will renew your strength. He will do it supernaturally. He will do it in a way in which you don't understand. He will just do it. All we have to do is place ourselves in position, and God, ladies and gentlemen, will in fact do the rest. And when we tell God that we are available, we place ourselves in position of submission, and God will again supernaturally charge us up. Think about your cell phone. Think about that battery running low. And when you connect it to the power source, it begins to now get that body. That battery becomes renewed. That battery becomes recharged. That battery becomes powered up. That is what we do when we're in submission and saying, Lord, I'm available to you. You are that cell phone that burned out, but now he's that power source that you're connecting yourself to. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit in the room on this morning. God has something to say to somebody on today. And when we place ourselves in position of submission, we tell him, Lord, I'm available to you. And he charges our minds. He charges our strength. And he gives us supernatural abilities to get the work he's called us to do done. Because he is our ultimate power source. He is our ultimate power source. So here's the deal. While we're waiting, he's renewing. While we're waiting, God is in fact renewing. I'm going to say that a couple of more times because I want it to get into your spirit. While we are waiting, he is in fact renewing. We're in that, what do they call it? The pit stop in NASCAR when you, after you've gone a few different laps and then you got to pull over and either get some more fuel or get your tires rotated and balanced and changed out some things. That's what we do when we wait on God. We go into that pit stop. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And we allow him to refresh us. We allow him to restore us. We allow him to change the tires of our life. We allow him to give us a fresh oil change. Maybe put in a little supernatural gas in our tank. God will do everything because he's the ultimate mechanic. And he is going to repair the car, the race car of our life. He's going to repair that, restore that, fix everything that's been damaged, worn down, every wire, every pipe, every alternator, everything on the inside of you that needs to be refreshing. God is in fact going to give you a renewed life, a renewed transition, renew your strength. So here's what I want us to know as the next slide goes up here. He's renewing our minds, ladies and gentlemen, and he's renewing our strength mentally and physically, so that here's the deal. We are restored spiritually to be used productively. To be used productively. I'm going to say something about that word productively. Here in the coming months or weeks here, whenever the Lord gives me the green light, we're going to go into a series called The Power of Wealth. And we're going to talk about how being productive lines up with the purpose and plan that God has for us in our lives. We got to have strength. We got to walk by faith. You see how all of our messages line up to where he's taking us, right? He's taking us here. And when we get into the power of wealth, we're going to understand the importance of being productive, because we're asking God for things, but then we're sitting back and just waiting on things to fall into our life. That's a whole nother sermon, a whole nother series, but I just wanted to interject it because he's restoring us to be used productively. This is why he's given us the strength. This is why he's renewing our minds. This is why he has given us the supernatural ability to carry forth the purpose and to carry forth the plan that he has for us. Unfortunately, the fig tree didn't understand this. So therefore, as Jesus was walking past the fig tree, he said, you got leaves, but you're deceiving. How about that? How many of us have leaves, but we're deceiving because we're not being productive? So he had to curse the fig tree so nobody else would be fooled by the fool's gold. God expects us, ladies and gentlemen, to be productive. Now, what the Apostle Paul, as he was walking and taking that understudy of his under his wing by the name of Timothy, what he tells us in 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, and I'm coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, for when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, I just don't have leaves on my tree. I wait on God to restore me. I'm in position of submission so that he can help produce, give me the strength to produce the figs on my tree of life. And this is what Paul wants us to understand. Yes, we're going to get weak, but then there is a then, there is a but. Remember, we talked about that word, but there is a but then I am strong. Paul knew that God supplied all of our needs. And if we're in need of strength, here's what God will do. He will supply us with strength. If we're in need of strength, God will, in fact, supply us with strength. And here's why, as my next slide goes up, ladies and gentlemen, God, guess what he has? He has riches. God has glory. But it's in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. God has riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That prepositional phrase, in Christ Jesus. Let me just exegete on that, elaborate on that just a little bit here. In Christ Jesus, okay, the meaning of in Christ Jesus is it goes back to when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're going to access, here's the deal. If you're going to tap into the resources of God, if you're going to access God's riches and glory, you have to come through Jesus. He's the door that gives you access to God. Remember, we talked about how we enter in. We had a message a while back, a lot of you remember, called Watch Your Approach. We don't just come to God any kind of way. We have to come to God because, first of all, we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And we enter into his courts, right? With praise, with thanksgiving, with giving him all the glory. We approach God a certain way. The main way is through Jesus Christ. And if you're going to access, as I said again, as we're going to access God's riches and glory, you have to come through Christ Jesus. All right? Because here, as we put the slide back up, the same slide back up, God has riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And here's the deal. And there is nothing, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing, YouTube, Facebook Live, Zoom, there is absolutely nothing that God does not want to do for us. Remember, it's him that gives us the desires of our hearts. Remember Jeremiah 29, as you see, 29 and 11, as you see above my head, one of my favorite scriptures, he already knows those plans that he has for us. And those plans, that's right, they include prospering us, not harming us. So it is already in the will of God to answer your prayers, to give you those desires, to give you what you want, to give you those things. He's going to supply your needs, but there are some wants out there that can add some color to those needs that you have. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that will help you walk into that next level of your life. There is nothing that he does not want to do for you that lines up with his purpose and his plan and fact that he has for you. That's what we need to understand about the God that we serve. So as we stated a few weeks ago, the power of faith. Remember, we talked about that. The power of faith. We want to give faith something to do. We do, in fact, want to give faith something to do. Because when we do that, what we're really doing is we're giving God something to do. We are lining up and agreeing with what it is that he wants to do for us. Because here's our word. Remember from that series here, I'm putting up this slide again because I want you to understand. I want you to see it. I want it to resonate into your spirit. Because faith is as God is. And God is as faith is. God says that I am. I just am. And since he's the Alpha and the Omega, that means he is. He just is. And when he manufactured faith to give us to have that spiritual connection between us and him, faith is as God is. And God is as faith is. This is what we want to understand in our life and how the power of faith works as we're talking about having our strength renewed. But here's the reality. Here's the physical reality that we all face. Because we're humans, we have fleshly bodies. And this is what happens sometimes. We get so caught up into the rhythmic pattern of life, the daily rhythmic pattern of life, that it becomes easy to forget where our help comes from. Oh, I did that. Oh, so-and-so blessed me with that. Oh, so-and-so gave me that. Oh yeah, because of my job. All these man-made things make it so easy for us to forget where our help comes from. And at times we forget to operate in faith because it's so easy. We can do it. We can make it happen. We can produce it ourselves, all of that. And that's great. But guess what? It doesn't take faith for those things. Where faith comes in is for something that's beyond what man can do, what something that's beyond what man can give, something that's beyond what you can supernatural, you can calculate in your mind. It has to be something supernatural beyond what you can do. If you can do it, you don't need faith for it. If you can make it happen, there is no need to access the power of faith. Okay, that's what I want us to understand. So it becomes easy for us to forget when the boisterous winds of life begin to take a toll on us and wear us down. And we think that there are a lot of things that we can do ourselves. Faith kind of goes out the door. And here's what happens. We forget about that. And then we become spiritually flabby and wonder, where is God in this situation? Where is God? I know God's nowhere to be found. Well, we stepped out of position. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But this is what begins to happen. Sometimes life begins to happen. Life begins to wear us down. We get so caught up now that things are starting to open back up. We're getting back to flying and going on vacations and doing things and all of that. Well, this time last year, we were all super holy. We were all super holy. And I don't mean that to be facetious, but it's the truth. We were all in position to where we had nothing to do but listen to the voice of the Lord. We had stay-at-home orders. We couldn't travel like we wanted to. And no one really knew and understand how COVID was going to affect them, how COVID was going to impact what they were doing. And all of a sudden, when we were in position to do nothing but serve God, oh, it became easy and convenient. But as we're getting back into that rhythmic pattern, what's beginning to happen? What's beginning to happen? What are we seeing? What are we seeing? Is God becoming first or are other things becoming first? Are we getting so caught up into doing the things of our lives that we're forgetting about who brought us over? Who brought us, and we're going to talk about this here in a little bit, over to the promised land? Who delivered us from this pandemic? Who's allowed us to be able to live and see another day? See, all those things allow us to become out of shape in our faith, and we become spiritually flabby if we're not careful. But what I want us to understand is despite everything that's going on, God has a fresh pot of strength that's waiting on us when we get worn down. And it's been simmering in the stove of life all day long. And as our next slide goes up, here's what I want us to understand. God is waiting on us to wait on him. How about that? God, during all of this rhythmic pattern of life, God is sitting back patiently, waiting on us to wait on him. Let's think about that for a second. Let that simmer into your spirit. Let that simmer into your life right now. God is sitting back waiting on you to get it together and realize where your help comes from, where your strength is going to come from. He is waiting on us to wait on him. Can you smell what God is cooking? Can you smell that fresh pot of faith and strength and everything that he wants to give us? Can you smell it simmering? If we enter into his gates the right way, we can smell. Remember when we used to go into grandma's house and you get out of school and you smell grandma, she had dinner already brewing. Maybe it was a pot of stew on that stove or whatever. And all you did was walk into her presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You walked into the presence of that house and you smelt what was cooking. This is what God wants us to understand. That pot never stops simmering. That pot never stops boiling. That pot never stops cooking. But it is up to us to decide, okay, enough is enough. Since God is waiting on me to wait on him, I need to enter into his presence to allow him to give and supply us with the needs that we need. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. But here's what happens. We get caught up in the natural, that we so easily forget about the spiritual. We get worn down and tired by the wrestling with flesh and blood. We wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with flesh and blood, and guess what? That's not even our fight. He told us not to wrestle against flesh and blood. It's bigger than that. This is where faith comes in. Faith is bigger than flesh and blood. There are principalities. There are spiritual beings that sit up in high places. If we're going to give faith something to do, we got to have the strength to be able to speak to what's beyond what we can deal with, to be able to speak what goes beyond what we can comprehend, to be able to speak life, faith. You need to go to work. You need to work on these principalities, these demons that sit up in high places. This is where we as the people of God got to come together, get out of all of these little fleshly wrestling matches that we deal with and fight the bigger fight. And this is how we work together to have the strength to give faith something to do. Now, the reality is now this happens to all of us. We get caught up. We forget. We get caught up into the rat race of life. And we forget about who's really in control. But in order to develop what we need, to recall what we need when we need it, to be in ready position and develop a strong sense of conditioning, which was our message last week, to have that strong sense of conditioning, Timothy, okay, he shadowed the Apostle Paul to learn what it was like to be conditioned in this walk. He shadowed the Apostle Paul to learn some things, and he saw how Paul can condition his life. And he conditioned his life that enabled him to become one of the most powerful and influential ministers of the gospel. The New Testament is filled up with the Pauline letters, with the letters that Paul wrote to all the churches that he planted. Okay. And so what Timothy understood is by shadowing Paul, here's what he learned. Here's what he learned. And if you go into Philippians 4:12, I'm coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. This is what Timothy learned: to be full, to be hungry, to both abound and to suffer need. He understood what that was like. He understood what it meant. He understood to be full and to be hungry, to both abound and to suffer need. And as we continue on here, we go into our next scripture in Philippians 4:13. He says, yeah, I understand all of that, but here's what I've learned from all of that, through all the ups and downs, all the toils, that here's what I can do, because God will give me the strength to get it done, because I place myself in ready position. And here's what God is doing to reciprocate me being in position. He says that I can do. Paul is telling him this, and Timothy is learning this. Timothy is like a sponge soaking all of this up. He's learning that I can do all things, not some, not a few, but all things, A-double-L, all things through Christ. Here we are again talking about through Christ. God said he'll supply our needs through Christ. Now, Paul is telling us, I can do all things through Christ. Do we understand the importance of a relationship with Christ? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is basically that door that gives us access to everything that we need. And through Christ, we can, in fact, do all things. And as the slide goes up here, what I want us to understand is, just as consistency is the key in physical workouts, you're going to 24-hour fitness. You're going and you're getting on your treadmill. You're going and you're working out and you're doing different things, water aerobics, all these things. You got to be consistent to receive the results. Consistency, ladies and gentlemen, is also the key for spiritual workouts. We have to be consistent in building. Here's that word. Here's that analogy. We have to be consistent in building our faith muscle. Faith is like a muscle. And if we don't work it out, we will in fact become spiritually flabby. This is why we have to give faith something to do. Because if we don't work our faith, it's not having the opportunity to build the strength. It's not having the opportunity to be able to give us the strength that we need. We have to give it work. If we don't work our muscles, what happens to our muscles? They become relaxed. And they begin to look like something else. I won't say what it is, but they begin to look like something else. But if we keep those muscles toned and we keep them going and we condition ourselves, they become what they're designed to be, which is to have the definition and to give us the strength that we need. So here's what I want to talk about here. Okay, here's what I want to talk about. And when we develop a strong conditioning plan for our spirit life, a strong condition plan, and I'm going to give you the steps to do that here. Again, we're going to be here for a minute here. We got a lot to cover, but God is speaking And for those that are going to patiently allow the word to speak into your spirit, you are going to receive one excellent meal on today. So I want to challenge you to stay focused. Don't turn away from this. Don't get distracted. Don't give the glory any glory. Don't give the devil any glory is what I meant to say. Don't give him any glory by moving away from a meal that you need to feed your spirit with. We're going to talk about this condition and plan here, because what happens is we will stray away from becoming if we work this plan. If we work this conditional plan, we will stray away from becoming spiritually flabby. Our spiritual conditioning plan, here's what I want to do. I want to talk about that. Our spiritual conditioning plan should include consistency in the following areas. Watch me on the slide here. Use your phone. Take a picture of this. If you're watching on Zoom and you're watching from your phone or whatever the case, go back and watch this on YouTube. Go back and watch this on Facebook Live. Take a picture of this. Write it down. Take notes, whatever you have to do. Okay. Because as we give you these tools, what I want us to understand is we have to be productive. You have to put these things into work. Paul says, whatever you have learned, seen in me do, put these things into practice. We have to put the word into practice. If we work the word works. If we work the word of God works. Now, here are our steps for spiritual conditioning. Okay. Number one, we have to have consistent dialogue with God. We have to have consistent dialogue with God. Okay. And if you pull up your Bible, I could elaborate on these scriptures here, but I'm going to try to get through this message here. You pull that up, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, King James Version there. It backs up what we have to do for being consistent. Basically, it says pray without ceasing. Okay, it says to pray without ceasing. Okay, so number two, we understand number one is have consistent dialogue with God. Number two, reading the word and studying to show yourself approved. Number two is reading the word. I didn't say read the word. Reading, ing, means it's a constant thing. Reading the word and studying to show yourself approved. That's what 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us. Okay, study to show thyself approved, to know the word. Somebody tell you something that's not biblical. If you studied up, you're going to know. You're going to be able to discern that. Call that out. Say, hey, that's not biblical. That's what we want to do in this ministry. Teach you basic biblical principles from the word of God to equip the people of God on today. This is what we want to do. The more you know and the more you study the word of God, the higher you grow in your relationship with him. Okay? The higher you grow in your relationship with him. All right? So the next one is the next step of spiritual conditioning here. Number three says, keeping your mind renewed and away from stinking thinking. Keeping your mind renewed and away from stinking thinking. Okay? Philippians 4:8. Think on those things. We know it. Think on those things. Some translations say the best, not the worst, the good, not the bad. Think on those things which are lovely, which are pure, the truth. Okay? Not things that are contaminating, but you focus on those things which are of good report. Focus on those things which are good news. Focus on the best, not the worst, the good, not the bad. And the Message Bible's translation say, and God who works everything work together will work you into his most harmonious works. God will fit you into the good things that are going on. God will fit you into the great things that are going on in life. But you have to think on those things which are the best. There's nothing wrong with that. Not ignoring things that are happening in this world. Not being aware of those things. But he's saying you think on these things that are the best. That means you put all your energy and focus on the best, not the worst. And then number four of our spiritual plan here, of our spiritual conditioning plan. And this is something we have to do every day, every moment of every day. This is basically a lifestyle. Okay. Working out has to become a lifestyle. Eating right has to become a lifestyle. All that's going to be, we're going to talk about that during the power of wealth, but this is what we want to make sure that we do. And number four says, be ready and available for God's work. Be ready and available for God's work. And if you read that in Ephesians 2:10, okay, it's talking about the good works. Okay. It's talking about being ready and doing the good works of God. That's the whole point and the whole purpose of keeping our minds renewed, keeping everything fresh so that we can do the good works that God needs for us to do. Now, y'all go back and watch that, take that, take a picture of it from your phone or whatever you have to do. But that is the plan that's going to help us stay spiritually conditioned, okay, to combat the weaknesses and losing the strength of our lives. All right. So here's the deal. When we work our spiritual conditioning plan, what will happen is we'll begin to develop what we call, and here's our message on today. We're going to go ahead and step into it. Here's what's going to happen after we've conditioned ourselves, after we've worked out, after we continue to work that plan, here's what we're going to end up developing. Muscle memory. We're going to end up developing muscle memory. This is how we develop muscle memory, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm going to talk about a new gentleman here that we have not talked about here in our messages here. And we're going to go back to the Old Testament here for a little bit. And you know our analogy of the Bible. Okay, as we really get ready to talk about the meat and potato, basically the star of our message, if you will. Okay, at the star of our message on today, we have what we call the Bible is like broken down into two halves. Okay, we've got a left hand, which represents the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, and we've got the right hand, which represents the Old Testament, which is Matthew through the book of Revelations. We're going to hang out in the Old Testament here just for a little bit as we're diving into this mail. And we're going to talk about somebody here that we haven't talked about before. Now, right after one of the greatest leaders in the history of our world by the name of Moses. That's right, the guy that had the speech impediment. That's right, the guy that committed a murder. That's right, the guy that was raised by parents that were not biologically his parents. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. This guy that was in exile that had to go and spend some time away until God gave him strength to do what he was called to do, which was lead the children of Israel. Right after this guy passed away, I'm talking about the guy that had a direct conversation with God. The guy that just did miraculous things by being used to part the Red Sea. Went back to Pharaoh time and time and time again, saying, when are you going to just let my people go? Do you know how much strength it took to go time after time after time and telling the guy that raised you from the infant that floated down the river? And Pharaoh's wife discovered him and took him and raised him. We all know it. We saw that movie, The Prince of Egypt. Yeah, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. And now to go back and look at that guy and say, you need to let my people go. It took a lot of strength to go back and back and back and back and back and be consistent. But you know what Moses did? He developed muscle memory. Because he conditioned himself to continue to work and to be consistent. And that's what I want us to learn and understand. Well, during all of that, when Moses' death came, Moses had an assistant by the name of Joshua. He had this young man that watched him, just like Timothy was the understudy to the Apostle Paul. Joshua was the understudy to Moses. He saw everything that Moses experienced. He saw how the children of Israel gave Moses the blues. He saw a lot of things, but he was the guy that was best prepared to take on the leadership of the children of Israel. So if you open your Bibles to the Old Testament, your e-Bibles, your regular Bibles, I just want to read and exegete a little bit on this guy by the name of Joshua, because what happens is as soon as Moses died, God turns right to Joshua. And I just want to read to you what happens here to Joshua. And I'm going to come from verses 1 through 3, and then I'm going to jump down to 5. And we're just going to kind of talk about this. Here's what's happened. This is a changing of the guard. This is a transformation of leadership, if you will. And I'm going to start here in verse number 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, and I'm reading for the New King James Version of the Bible. It came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. Moses' assistant says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Stop right there. As he's telling him to go over this Jordan, it wasn't a bridge. You know what they had to do? Just like God parted the Red Sea for Moses, Joshua's in position to see God do the miraculous things. And we're going to talk about that in here just a little bit. He had to use muscle memory to remember, if God did it before, he will do it again. The Jordan River had to be parted as well. But God is telling him to go to it, to giving him all the children of Israel. And in verse number 3 says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. I want to read that again. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Now, what I want us to understand, I'm going to read down into verse number 5 here. I'm going to skip down into verse number 5 here, because God is giving right now, what you're hearing is, you're hearing this, these God giving Joshua specific instructions, right, of how Joshua is supposed to lead the children of Israel. But here's what God does. He wraps it up with a promise. And he says in verse number 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I so will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor will I forsake you. This is what God is telling Joshua, and he's giving him specific instructions of how and where to lead the children of Israel. Now, this goes all the way back to a covenant that God made with Abraham. So giving them many sons and giving them many sons that will have many nations, and you'd be the father of many nations and all that. Well, that was part of that same promise. And now Moses was now given charge to lead, okay, the children of Israel out of the bondage of Israel, Egypt, getting away from Pharaoh. And now the guards changing again into Joshua. And now Joshua's now in charge. He's the guy. He's in charge now. This same promise that started with Abraham is now in the hands of Joshua. Just imagine that. What great responsibility that is. To be a part of a promise, of a promise, of a promise, of a promise. There are some of us in our lives, our great, great, great grandparents were promised some things, and we're living in that promise right now today. They promised our great, great grandparents. And some of us, some of our great, 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 great grandparents were slaves. But they believed that one day we shall overcome, and we're living in that promise of the promise of the promise of the promise now on today. This is the same thing, that great promise that God gave the children of Israel. Now, this is now becoming Joshua's responsibility to lead the children of Israel. And now this is what I want us to understand. Just as Timothy was the understudy to the Apostle Paul, Joshua was the understudy to Moses. So what happens is, Joshua, he was ready. He was prepared for the pushback. He was prepared for the people that were going to give him the blues, and he saw that, and he saw how the children of Israel, how they would at times become tired of even this simple substance that God would send down from heaven called manna, the bread of heaven, how they got tired of eating that and they wanted meat, how they got tired of worshiping a God that they could not see. So they decided to take off their jewelry and begin to melt all the jewelry and things and build their idol gods, so that they could tangibly have something to worship. Joshua witnessed all of that. He saw how frustrated Moses got at times, how put out he got with the people that just didn't seem to get it. God has led them out of captivity, but then all of a sudden they get free. All of a sudden the stay-at-home order is now released. All of a sudden we're no longer in a pandemic. We now start to look for idol gods. We now start to look for other things. We now start to put other things other than the one that led us out of this pandemic, led us out of the Egypt of our situation. Now we want something else. Now we're back to mumbling and complaining. Now we're back to wanting life as the way that it once was, because that was just a season for giving God our time and thanking him. But now what are we getting ready to do? Joshua had to be a leader of people that thought this way. And so what he had to understand is, because during the time that he was with Moses, he saw how Moses had gotten so frustrated with the people He was able to understand what it took, and he understood the leadership role, and he knew that at some point there was going to be some pushback. But he could not get strong. He could not get weary in well-doing. He could not allow all the mumbling and complaining to get the best of him. Yes, those were toils that wore on him. They tore on him. They got the best of him. But I want us to understand something about Joshua. During that time, he was building his conditioning. During that time with Moses, he was in ready position. He understood how to get himself ready so that when the boisterous winds of life began to hit on him, he was ready and in ready position to be able to handle everything that he needed to handle. Because God is our supplier and he gives us what we need. Now, what I want us to understand here is we have to keep our life connected just like Joshua did. We got to keep our life connected to God, who is our power source, because it is easy to become spiritually flabby. All Joshua had to do was listen to the complaining of the people a little bit and he would have gotten off his post. All he had to do was just say, you know what? I agree with you. You know what? I'm tired of this manna too. You know what? Forget about crossing the Jordan River. Maybe we ought to go this way. Maybe we ought to go that way. Maybe some influential people in that group could have gotten the best of Joshua and said, well, you know what? Moses would have done this. Moses would have done that. You know, the negative Nads and the negative Nancys and those of us in leadership position, we understand how people can try to talk us out of the vision that we have, talk us out of where God is assigning us to go because they want to get in our ear and they have their own selfish agendas that maybe want to try to redirect you. But you've got to have the power of strength to stay the course. You've got to have the power of strength to be bold. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But you've got to stay the course and not veer away from what God wants you to do. So over all that time, here's something that Joshua built. He built this thing called muscle memory. He built this thing called muscle memory. He remembered all the challenges that Moses experienced. He remembered all the things that God did. So Joshua was able to have that time to place himself in ready position and condition himself to build muscle memory. Now, as we're talking about muscle memory, which is the heart and soul of our message on today, I want to tell you about what Merriam-Webster has to say about muscle memory. I want to read to you about what Merriam-Webster has to say about muscle memory. So I'm just going to give you just a quick breakdown of what it is. And as you see on the slide here, it states that muscle memory is the ability to repeat a specific muscular movement with improved efficiency and accuracy that is acquired through practice. You talking about practice? Remember that from Allen Iverson? Practice? We talking about practice? Practice is extremely important, and repetition. The accuracy that is required through practice and repetition. How about that? Isn't it a beautiful thing to be able to practice before you have to perform? Isn't it a beautiful thing to be able to have to practice and get your reps in before it's time to now be called on to use that strength that you build? And this is what muscle memory is, because being Moses' assistant, Joshua, okay, gave Joshua a lot of practice for leadership. He got a chance to be able to see the rough draft version of leading the children of Israel, the rough draft version of seeing the mumbling and complaining, getting him prepped, getting him ready. He was getting his reps in early. And eventually muscle memory was developed, and it's achieved by the practice and the repetition. Maybe some days Moses didn't feel, hey, Joshua, you take over for a little bit. Hey, Joshua, you tell the people this. Hey, Joshua, you direct them over here. You direct them all that. And all of that was that conditioning that it took to get him ready for his moment. So when the heat is on, ladies and gentlemen, the training kicks in. When the heat is on, and it's not a matter of if, but when, because we're all going to get the heat turned up in our life. This is when the training kicks in. So Joshua, seeing the miraculous works of God, part the Red Sea, now use muscle memory to know the same and that God will now part the Jordan River. So when God spoke, Joshua went to work and he did it. He didn't question. He didn't doubt because he had those reps to be able to see the miraculous things that God had done. Because when the heat was on and when it came to crossing the Jordan River, and this is when muscle memory kicked in. He saw the strength that it took. He saw how the muscle memory began to take its toll. But the strength that it took to not just lead, again, not any kind of people, but God's chosen people. Not any kind of people, Zoom, but God's chosen people, Facebook Live, a certain group of people, people handpicked, chosen by God. That took a supernatural strength. Leaders, leadership, being in the leadership role, it takes strength. So God tells Joshua here in Joshua 1 and 7. Now, as we skip down to verse number 7, this dialogue between God and Joshua, Joshua in ready position, he's being renewed as he's receiving his instructions from God. Here's what he's telling Joshua. Now that I've given you these instructions, now that I'm telling you what you need to do, now that I'm giving you the assignment of your life, here's what you're to do in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper. There's that word, prosper. Prosper wherever you go. What God is telling Joshua, the only choice you have is to be strong. And you, my son, need to be very courageous. And if you don't veer to the left, if you don't listen to the negative Ned, if you don't listen to the negative Nancy, if you don't veer off and try to do your own thing and you just follow the plan of righteousness that I am giving you, lead my people where I'm telling you to lead my people, prosperity will await you. Prosperity is what you will receive. This group of people could only see strength and courage from their newly appointed leader. Those of you that are dog owners and German Shepherd owners and maybe some of the more impactful dogs, right? The guard dogs, right? They can what? They are used to taking commands and following instructions from the pack leader. And if you show any form of weakness, that dog is not going to respect you as the master, as the leader that you are. You have to stay on your toes and build that muscle memory in that dog so that that dog will respect you and it's going to become a better trained dog. Because it's a constant struggle of who's going to be in control. And if you show any ounce of weakness, that dog is not going to respect you. This is what God is telling Joshua. You've got to show strength at all times. You can only be strong. And you need to be very courageous because this group of people right here, they'll chew you up and spit you out if you show any form of weakness. They will chew you up and spit you out if you don't seem like you can handle the job. They already kind of on the verge of half in, half out, trying to serve me a little bit, but getting distracted. So they need their leader to be strong and very courageous. A leader would understand in this case that if God did it before, God is going to do it again. So therefore that muscle memory begins to kick in because I've done the works. I've seen the works. I know what God can do. I've seen God do miraculous things. So I am going to stand strong in the strength that he has given me because I know who he is. Now here's a key point, and thank y'all for your patience and stand with me here. What we have to understand is you don't have to be the most experienced. You don't have to be the most skilled. But if you put in the reps and build muscle memory, God can and God will use you. Do you think David was the strongest and the man full of stature out of all his brothers? No. But David put in those reps. He tended the sheep early. He developed his skill set early. So he was ready to fight. He was ready to fight Goliath. He was in that position and muscle memory kicked in. Oh, I fought a few bears. Oh, I've fought a few wolves. Oh, I know what it's like to protect sheep. And all it took was his will and his might, and God did the rest. That's because if you put in those reps and build that muscle memory, God can and God will use you. Now, here's somebody that had a problem with trying to understand it. There was this man by the name of Gideon that had a problem with understanding. Hey, I'm not the strongest. Hey, I'm not the most skilled. My team of people are kind of weak out there. They're not the most skilled people to take on the Midianites. And he didn't quite understand that God can use anybody that's just available. And when the angel came down and said, hey, you know what? We need you to go to work. We need you to lead our people, the same group of people, the children of Israel, right? Now this is in Gideon's hands, right? We need you to fight off the enemy. Gideon's like, oh, he's looking at that motley crew that he has. He's like, psh, these people are weak. They can't handle it. They can't do it. He's talking himself out of his blessing. He's looking at his physical capabilities or incapabilities and saying, we can't do this. We're not built for this. We can't handle this. So when God gave Gideon that challenge to defeat the Midianites, Gideon thought that God had really made a mistake. He thought he made a mistake with tasking him this assignment. But rather than going back and forth with God, surely you're not talking about me. No, I can't handle this. I can't handle this. What happened was instead of doing that, maybe if Gideon had conditioned himself, maybe if Gideon would have been in position of submission, maybe if he would have just said, well, you know what, Lord, I am available. Maybe if he would have known that when I am weak, I am yet made strong. Maybe if he would have been working that plan that we've given you all, the conditioning plan, muscle memory would have kicked in as soon as he received that assignment. And he would have remembered how God used Joshua to lead the same group of people. And he would have remembered how God used Moses to lead the same group of people. And that he delivered them from the hands of the enemy once again. That's the problem that Gideon had. Sometimes we can go back and forth with God and allow fear, false evidence appearing real. It's an acronym, false evidence appearing real. We can allow fear to kick into high gear because we're facing something that we've never faced before. We're facing something that we have never faced before, and we're just going to allow fear to kick in. And what happens is we don't have any muscle memory because now we haven't conditioned ourselves. We haven't positioned ourselves. And now we give in. Faith is nowhere to be found. We ain't given faith anything to do because we've doubted ourselves. We've counted ourselves out. Even before we stepped into the ring, we were already defeated. But God reminded Gideon in Judges 6 and 16 in the Old Testament, and I am coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. He said, surely I will be with you. You shall, there's that word again, that command, you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. As one man. You, yourself, and you will defeat the Midianites. So not only are you looking at the crew, not only are you looking at your weaknesses, not only are you looking at what you can and cannot do, I am going to empower you with the strength to defeat a whole tribe, and you're going to do it yourself. Because Gideon was focusing on all those other things instead of realizing the power of God. So what he was going to do, what God was going to do, he was going to give Gideon the strength to be able to defeat the Midianites, and he needs to understand the power of God and how the power of strength works through God. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what we have to understand. If God said it, if God is speaking something into your heart, Zoom, if God is giving you some specific instructions, we know that he shall supply all of our needs, okay, according to his riches and glory. Who? In the door. In the door. Who's the door? Christ. Okay. In Christ Jesus, we got to know that we can take it to the bank if God said it. God is a God that shall not lie. And if he speaks it, it's going to happen. If he speaks it, it's going to pass. Whatever God has promised you, it is going to happen. But you have to be in ready position. Because what we need to understand as the next slide goes up here is that God's word is all the muscle memory that we need. If God said it, know that it's going to happen. If God said it, know that it's going to come to pass. No need in you trying to debate it. No need in you trying to doubt it. No need in any of those things. If God said it, it is going to happen. So my question for us on today, as I get ready to close, what are you wrestling with God with today? What are you doubting God on today from what he told you to do? What are you wrestling with? And if you're wrestling with God and believing what he can do for you, what he will do through you, how far did wrestling get Jacob? How far did Jacob wrestling with God? What did that do besides get him worn down? You're not going to win. If God has commanded you to do something, you just need to be bold and courageous like Joshua and step out and do it. That is the only choice you have, to step out and do it. Don't wrestle with God because you're not going to win. Suck it up, buttercup, and get yourself ready to go forth what God needs for you to do. We got to have, ladies and gentlemen, muscle memory in a tough and challenging times in our lives. And we got to trust God like never before. We got to know that he makes no mistakes. And when he gives you something to do, he has already equipped you with everything you need to get it done. He, just as he told Jacob, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And he will not leave you in your trials just to leave you in your trials. Don't get spiritually crippled like Jacob for failing to use muscle memory and believing what God can do for you. If God delivered Daniel from the lion's den, he will do the same for you. If God delivered the three Hebrew boys from the fiery furnace, he will do the same for you. We all face spiritual struggles and personal battles. None of us are exempt from that. We all go through those challenges. We all go through those trials. We deal with health concerns and we have rocky spots and rocky moments in marriages and relationships. And we have temptations on every end. And then sometimes financial woes come to take their toll on us as well. You may perhaps feel like Gideon and that you just don't have the strength when you're hit with these challenges. You may feel like Jacob that you need to go back and forth and wrestle with God. But what I want us to understand is that even if you feel like you're unmanned and if you feel like you're unskilled and if you feel like you don't have the strength to come out on top, you've got to trust God like never before. You've got to get yourself out of the way and you've got to welcome the Spirit of God. You've got to say, Lord, if you said it, even though I may not comprehend it in my natural mind, I know that your thoughts are not my thoughts. I know that your ways are not my ways. Lord, if you said it, I have to stand strong and be courageous and be courageous and be courageous and be courageous and only be strong and know that if you said it, you have given me the ability to get it done. If you're not conditioned, you will not be able to think like that. If you're not conditioned, you can't pull from that reservoir of muscle memory. If you're not conditioned, you won't have the strength to be able to know that when you hit with those challenges, you've got the strength to be able to do what God needs for you to do. What I want us to understand is that we are that mighty man and that mighty woman of valor, that God has chosen to use muscle memory to remember that he will bring us out of our situations. So we have to make that choice again, I say, to only be strong and very courageous, just as God told Joshua, ladies and gentlemen. Because when the heat is on and we know it's going to get hot, it's going to take muscle memory for you to not turn to the right hand, to not turn to the left hand, to not turn to the right hand, to not turn to the left hand, to do what God needs for us to do. And you got to stay on that path of prosperity. Don't get veered off when you know God is in control. Don't get veered off by listening to chatter of unbelievers. Don't get veered off because the challenge seems that it's too hard. Don't get veered off when it seems like it's too hard or that it's too difficult. We have to remember God never asked us to carry our burdens. We got to face our challenges with our own strength. He didn't tell you to do that. He didn't tell you to face that challenge all along. He didn't tell you that it was all up to you yourself to get it done. What we have to understand is that what Paul tells us in Philippians 4 and 13, I'm going to say this again, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Paul said it, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So where someone else may be caught up in the natural, you are using muscle memory. Well, someone else maybe kind of veering off and sitting on the fence and not quite trusting God. You built those reps. You stayed after the game and you shot those extra free throws. You stayed after the game and you threw those extra passes. You stayed after the game and you did that extra stretching so that you could build that muscle memory when times get challenging. So you can build that muscle memory when it comes to 2 minutes in the fourth quarter and you need to hit those two free throws. You can build that muscle memory when things get challenging, when times get rough and when times get tough. And you're going to look for help and you're going to stretch forth your hand in which comes your help. And you're going to know that he is the only help that you need. You have to be the one to remember to call on the name of the Lord when you get weak. You have to remember to call on the name of the Lord when you start struggling. You have to remember to call on the name of the Lord when you're outnumbered and defeated. You got to remember to refrain from wrestling with God. Because here's what I want us to understand. There is something about that door. There is something about the name of Jesus. Just like the song says, it is in fact the sweetest name that I know. There is power in the name of Jesus. And with him, we have the strength to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. When the going gets rough, we have to call on that sweet name of Jesus to help us recall the muscle memory that we need to know that God said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We have to call on the name of Jesus to give us a sense of peace that surpasses all understanding, that will guard our heart, that will guard our mind. Here's that prepositional phrase again, in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the one that will call on that muscle memory to help you to remember what we need to know, that God is in complete control. Jesus is that bridge. When we've gotten spiritually flabby, when we've gotten out of shape and we've gotten on and veered on and kind of ate some unspiritual junk food that contaminated our hearts and our lives, he came so that we might have life and life more abundantly. And he loves you enough to help you recall and to use that muscle memory in your life. Because the name of Jesus, demons tremble. If you just say Jesus, demons get shaken up. If you just say Jesus, Satan has to respect that name. If you just say the name of Jesus, the world has to listen. The world has to stop. The world has to remember this is the man that will give us muscle memory and call on the help that we know in our lives. The name of Jesus will dry up a 12-year-old issue of blood that no one else had answers to be able to solve. The name of Jesus will teach somebody that was as smart and sharp as a guy by the name of Nicodemus what it's like to be born again. The name of Jesus will teach an indirect lessons to the Pharisees and the Sadducees by picking up a few stones and saying, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. You're trying to condemn over here, but what have you done? The name of Jesus silences everything, and it gives us that peace to be able to call on the muscle memory. His power never changes. Ladies and gentlemen, and don't let the challenges of life make us forget that he is on the throne. So I want us to understand here, as we get down into the nitty gritty of this message here, I've got a slide that's getting ready to come up, and it says, as long, and I want y'all to listen to this and remember this and let this saturate into your spirit. As long as God is on the throne, we will never face our challenges alone. As long as God is on the throne, we will never face our challenges alone. I want us to let muscle memory know that God has brought us out before. And regardless to what we are going through in our lives, he will bring us out again. Because again, I say, as long as God is on the throne, we will never face our challenges alone. This is what helped Joshua lead the children of Israel, because he relied on muscle memory to know that just as King David tells us in Psalms 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So right now, as we get ready to close this message, let God order your steps. Let him order your steps. He will equip you with everything you need in the path in which he's leading you. And just as God told Joshua, Joshua 1 and 5, here's what he told Joshua. No man That's no woman, no boy, no girl, no situation. I don't care who they are. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. God will not leave you. God will not forsake you. And it will take muscle memory to help you know that God is always by your side. When you put in the work will be put in you. When you put in the work and you follow that conditioning plan, the work will be put in you. As I close, ladies and gentlemen, my good brothers and sisters, what I want us to understand, the result of muscle memory is when we put the work in. Studying to show ourselves approved and remembering God's word will help us be, here it is, in ready position. Lord, I'm available to you. It will help us develop conditioning. And most of all, it will help us rely on muscle memory. I want y'all to hold on to this message, to hold on to this series, go back and rewatch it, because it's not a matter of if, but when the heat is on, we got to know to call on the name of Jesus. We got to know, Lord, you delivered me out of this before. Lord, you did this for us before. I know your works. I know what your word says. We got to have that strength to call on faith, muscle, memory, to know that God will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And this concludes our series on the power of strength. And my prayer is that this series, this entire series, has been life-changing for you, and that it is the blueprint to receive the strength you need to fulfill God's purpose in your life. I want to thank y'all for your patience. You basically got two weeks worth of messages right here on today. And I just want to thank y'all for listening and allowing me to pour into the empty storage of your spirit. And right now, somebody out there, you need to know how sweet the name of Jesus is. You need to know that he is sweeter than a honeycomb. You need to know on today that at the name of Jesus, there is no other name that you need. At the name of Jesus, demons will have to respect that name because they'll be too busy trembling. At the name of Jesus, he will break every chain that may be holding you bound. I don't care if it's drug abuse. I don't care if it's sex addiction. I don't care what it is in your life. I don't care if it's just being caught up into the streets, whatever drug dealing, whatever lifestyle that you in, it is nothing too hard that the sweet name of Jesus can't break a chain of it. There is nothing too hard in anything that you've done that he cannot bring you back in and place you in position of submission. Right now on today, you're going to need muscle memory because those temptations are going to come. Those temptations are just waiting right around the corner on you, talking about, psst, psst, hey, come on back. You remember us? Come on back. You need the name of Jesus to recall on muscle memory, to allow you to walk into the deliverance, to walk into the plan of righteous, to walk into what God needs for you to do on today so that you can live that life to be productive in helping build the kingdom of God. For that person, that man, that woman, that child, I'll just pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, that soul is running back to you just as, Lord, you ran after the prodigal son, Father God. They want a renewed life. This person wants to know how sweet your name is. I pray that they find you, Father God. You never left them. They left you. And if they just turn and know that you're right by their side, Lord, and that you'll never leave them or forsake them, that you are just to forgive them, and place their feet on a solid foundation. The word of God is the foundation of their life. And Lord, I just pray that they come to you, Father God, that they give their life to you, Father God. And right now, I want to speak to that person, whoever that is out there right now. You understood that you needed some strength. You understood that you needed some muscle memory. And I want you to repeat after me, Father God, I'm sorry, Lord. I've been way off. And I have gotten spiritually flabby. Lord, work my faith muscle and build the strength inside of me to do the works that you need for me to do. Forgive me for all of my sins. Forgive me for my shortcomings. And I ask that you accept me into your kingdom. I believe that Jesus died, that he rose on the third day with all the power and with all the glory. And I accept him in my life on today. And I thank you that I am saved. And I thank you for my changed life. In the name of Jesus, amen. If that is you, I want to congratulate you. I want to welcome you back into the kingdom of God. If that is you, you know I want to hear from you. If that's you, you know I want you to reach out to me. I want to walk you through, we've got a plan of condition here, but I want to walk you through a plan of salvation here. If you have dedicated your life to Christ on today, and you just said that simple prayer, it didn't take a whole lot of things here. It didn't take a horn section, it didn't take an orchestra, it didn't take a drum set, it didn't take all that, just those simple confessing and believing and accepting. Confessing, believing, and accepting. If that was you, I don't care who you are. You may have been in church all your life, but you may not have had Jesus in your life. If that is you, send me a note. Reach out to me on Facebook. Email me, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I want to know. I want to walk with you during this walk because we all need strength. We all need that encouragement. We all need that little in our life every now and then. Just somebody to kind of give us that nudge. Somebody to talk to. Somebody when I've got thoughts that are not holy, that are not clean, and things that are going on in my life, maybe I can reach out to someone. The Bible says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. I want to pray with you. I just want to talk with you. And if you want to be a member of this church, reach out to us here. The month of July, we're going to start opening up. We're going to send you information on joining our church. Again, email me, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. We're going to send you information here. Just a low forms to fill out here, and that's it. We'll submit all that, get all that prepared for you here, and then we're going to have a virtual meeting, probably on Zoom or one of the platforms here, where we'll talk about the church and talk about joining the church and things that we have, ideas that we have, and things that maybe we can use you, maybe what you can bring to the table for us here. We'd love to have you to be a part of that here. We're going to have more talking about that coming up in July, and again, next week we won't have a live service, but we'll be back July 11th. But before you go, you know this word has been a blessing to you. You know, this was a good down home cooked meal coming from grandma's old school kitchen right here. This was scratch kitchen. This was, what do they call it? Scratch cooking, right? That old scratch kitchen, everything from scratch right here. This was a scratch. This meal was prepared to you from scratch. And you know that this word was a blessing to you. I'm going to challenge you. I am going to challenge you to give like never before to this ministry. If this word meant something to you, why don't you, like we go to a restaurant, why don't you tip the cook, tip the waiter, the waitress? Just say, you know what, Lord, you know, I may be a member of another church, or, you know, I may not be all down with this whole giving thing and all that kind of stuff. You know what? I'm going to tear down some walls and I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to give just something just to say, you know what? I am confirming that this message was blessed with me. If you still on right now, whether it be Zoom or one of the platforms right now, and you listen to this message all the way through, that means that God has spoken to you and you need to tell God thanks. And again, it's not about the amount. You need to tell God thanks and say, Lord, this message was a blessing for me. You can give to us a couple of ways here. You can reach out to us on Zelle. Okay, and just look for the church email address on Zelle from your Zelle app, right? Or from your phone, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. It is safe. Don't worry, well, I don't know about that. Listen, the devil is a lie. Okay, it's been vetted. It's great. Nothing's going to happen. Your account ain't going to get hacked. None of that stuff ain't going to happen. And here's another great source, another great way to give. Give to us on GiveLify, the GiveLify app, okay? Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Just pull us up. You'll see the church logo there. And it has just been so fantastic to see those that are giving and seeing the move of God work on their lives, just saying, hey, you know what? I just want to let you know, I thank God for this ministry. I thank God for speaking into us. I thank God for just uplifting me. You know, I was down, I was stuck, I was in a rut, and that word ignited me. Guys, honor that. with your contribution. Honor that. Okay. Honor that with your contribution. God's church is going to be built regardless, but you want to be a part of a move of God. You want to be a part of something special that God is doing right now for everybody that's got a heart to give. I just want to pray over your offering. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for those that have said, this word spoke to me. This word, it's doing something inside of my spirit. And I just want to complete it. I want to put the icing on the cake by giving this word. I just want to give a financial gift into this ministry, Lord. I just want to help them to continue to stay broadcasting and pouring to me. And whatever that next move is that you have for this church, Lord, I want to be a part of my financial contribution to give so that maybe they can get a brick and mortar building one day or whatever it is that God is going to do. We just want to give it. If I have enough faith to listen to this message and I have enough faith to stay on and listen to this message, I have enough faith to know that my financial contribution is sowing on good ground. And I just want to thank that person that believes that the word of God is speaking to them and they're giving to this ministry. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, in advance for a hundredfold return. Open up your windows of heaven's blessings, Lord, and pour them out riches and glory that they will not have room enough to receive. It's what your word said, Lord Jesus. It is time for us to have a mindset of overflowing blessings, not just being content, but we need some overflowing miracles in our lives. And Lord, it starts with obedience. You said, give and it shall be given unto you. There's that word shall again. It's a commandment. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, runneth over, Lord. You said it in your word. And I want to thank y'all for anyone that's given their tithes, that's given that tenth of their earnings, Lord. Thank you for their first fruits. And I know you're doing amazing things for them in their life. I don't have to hear about a testimony. I already know by faith. So, Lord, I thank you for that. Those that have a heart to give and just may not have the means to give right now, Lord, I pray for a supernatural breakthrough in their life so that they can start giving like they love to give. Being a part of what they love to be a part of, nothing's too hard for you. You've got riches and you have glory in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this message. That pray that this word has been a blessing to you, that it has spoke life into your situation. In the name of Jesus, go in peace and have a fantastic day in the name of Jesus. We love y'all. We'll see y'all next week back here July 11th. Same time, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Have a fantastic day, folks, and we will see you soon.
Martin didn't stand up. What if Rosa didn't sit down? What if Malcolm didn't matter? Where would we be now? What if Molly didn't get up, stand up? What if Du Bois didn't come to advance us? And Mandela didn't come to teach us? Where would we be now? With our love, 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 love. 'Cause it is up to us. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We can change the world. Our love can change the world. We can change the world. With our love, 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 love. Our love can change the world. What if Maya didn't speak out? What if Langston Hughes didn't write it down? What if Josephine Baker didn't dance it out? No. Tell me, where would we be now? What if Soul Jenner never told the truth?
Ida B. Wells never printed the news. Harriet never went underground. Where would we be now? We are the ones we've been waiting for. We can change the world. We can change the world with our change the world. Speak out with all of our love. Love, 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 love. 'Cause it is up to us. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We can change the world. Our love will change the world. Change the world with our love, 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 love. Our love will change the world. Oprah, Kamala, Ava, Tirana, and Lena, Serena, Viola, Oprah, Patrice, and Alicia, you and me are the chosen. Right now, this is our moment. We are a people of motion. Our love's gonna change the world.
Tune in to Friday Night Hype with DB every Friday at 7 p.m. on We Talk Radio.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.